Hashem el Moshe leimor v'gavar shel Moshe b'mir asim l'shana hashenis letzeit son li'eretz mitzrayim b'chodesh rishon leimor. Okay, shlishi is the sugya of the Pesach sheni. A yamtif, like we always say, a yamtif for the tenayim and the rechayim. A holiday for those that are contaminated and those that are distant. That's a very nasty thing to say, but that's really what it is. It's a yamtif for the tenayim and the rechayim. So here, when exactly did this event take place? It took place in the second year. They're in the desert, and it's now year number two. Now, you have to remember that then Mitzrayim, what are the sequence of events? The sequence of events are, it's a year later from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is exactly 1 year since Yitzias Mitzrayim. A lot has transpired. They left Mitzrayim. They went in, there was Kriyas Yamsuf on day 7 of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They went into the desert, they went into Marah. There was no water. Miraculously, they got water. And then 30 days after they left, miraculously, the mun fell down. On the 18th day of Iyar, okay, the mun fell down. And then Moshe Rabbeinu on Vav Sivan was Matan Torah. Or Zayin Sivan, Matan Torah. Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days. He comes down on Shavuos V'Tammuz. He shares the Luchos. He goes back for another 80 days. He comes back on Yom Kippur. Hashem forgives them. And then they begin to build the Mishkan. They finish building the Mishkan. They finish building the Mishkan on the 25th day of Kislev. And they wait. They wait for the Chanukah until the first day of Nisan. And now they have the 7 days of inauguration, and now it's the 8th day of Nisan, another day, and then before you turn around, it's Shabbos HaGadol, and it's soon time to bring the Korban Pesach, so this is going to be the anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of Yitzias Mitzrayim. What a year! It was jam-packed. This first year, I mean, you go in Jewish history, what you compress into this 1 year is astonishing. Okay, the world, you know, most, you know, people, like this year, there was no year like this year. So many things happened in this first year, from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaChodesh Elohim Rish Chodoshim, all the way a year later, there's the Chanukah Samishkan, and the Hashuas HaShchina, and they celebrate for 7 days, and then it's the 8th day of Nisan. So how many days do you have left? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 7 days left to Pesach. 7 days. Then obviously those days get closer and closer. And the Pasuk over here says, now it's time to bring the Korban Pesach on the anniversary. So Yidav Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai in the desert, Ba'ashana Hashenis, on the second year, let's say, Sami Eretz Yisrael, Ba'chodesh Harishoyin, on the first month, Limna. When on the first month? So what does Rashi say? The parasha in the beginning of the sefer was not said until Iyar. Lamadatosh ain't said the muktam mucha b'tayr v'lama le'pasach b'zu b'nei shu genusan shel Yisrael shekol arbo'im shana shay Yisrael b'amidbar lo hikrivu el pesach zedulvat. So Rashi starts off with some really explosive principles. A lot here to be said. First of all, so let's go back. So the beginning of the parasha, it learns about the menorah. The menorah, b'halos daber al avi amartili, b'halos chasaneros. Now the truth is that's not so. That was Rashi said there beferish, that pasuk took place on the first day of Nisan. Okay, that was also on another first day, the chasaneros. That was on, what day was that? I guess that was on day 8, right? That was on the 8th, that was on day 13. That was on day 13, I think. Alois Chesed was the 13th day of Nisan. Okay, then, Alois Chesed, they were the 12 Nisim. The 12 Nisim, they celebrated for 12 days. What did I say? I told you for 7 days. No, they celebrated really for 12 days. They celebrated for 12 days. Each day, one of the Nisim brought a korban. Then on day 13, it says that Aaron had Chalisha Sadas, because Aaron and his Shevet did not participate in the Chanukah Asah Mishkan. He was sad. So Hashem said, don't be sad, you light the Neros. So it seems that Aaron first lit the Neros on the 13th day of Nisan. That's very interesting, because that means it's only 2 days. It's basically 2 days before, the day before Erev Pesach. The day before Erev Pesach is when Aaron is the very first time with the neighbors. Rashi, what is, let's look at that Rashi. Rashi says, the very first Rashi in the beginning of the parashah, Valos, and there is Lomnis, Laparashah, Amzorah, Laparashah, Samnesim, Lefigish, Shekasharah, Aaron, Mechanukah, Samnesim, Cholsha, Ozdaito, Yats, we say it. Shelohoya, Imoa, Mechanukah, Lohuvla, Shiftoi, Amalaya, Kodeshbrochu, Shayecha, by your life, Shelcha, Gedolim, Shelohem, Shahta, Maluk, Umetivis, and Neris. Wait a minute, so what does that mean? Who lit the menorah for the first 12 days? I don't know. Did he have chalishas? No, it seems not. Moshe only lit for the days before, from the 24th day of Adar, the seven one when the miluim, which means the days leading up, day 25, 4, 5, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. I think Moshe. I don't know. I really don't know who lit the menorah for the first 12 days. Okay, then was the next parasha.
Whose job was it to light the menorah? Wasn't the Kohen Gadol?
Only a Kohen is allowed to light the menorah. The only one that's allowed to light the menorah. No, I take that back. The only one that's the Hatava. The lighting can be done by a Zohar. Wait. I get confused over here.
What? Yeah, Zohar can light it, but.
The Hatava, the preparation.
How is Zohar going to come into the
kachim. Okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is. The beginning of the parasha deals with the lighting of the menorah. When did that take place? It had to have taken place in the beginning of Chodesh Nisan. Now, then, not later than the 13th day of Nisan, because the inauguration took place the first 12 days of Nisan, and Moshe and Aaron is then lighting the menorah. So the latest that Aaron started to light the menorah, the latest was day 13 of Nisan. Then there's the next parasha. The next parasha is where they recruit the Levim. Okay, then the next parasha is Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Kach es ha-Levim mitoch b'nei Yisrael. Take the Levim. When did that happen? I don't know. Doesn't really say. Kach, now, is that what Rashi is referring to? And then the next parasha, that now we come to where we're up to Awash. So Rashi here says, an Al Pasik in Shlishi, Perik Tes, Pasik Aleph, Bachodesh Rishon, Parasha Shebereisha Sefer, Loi Nemro, Ad Ior. Now what does that mean? That means the menorah? I don't think so. I think what it means is the Parasha Shebereisha Sefer is referring to the Levim. When Moshe recruited the Levim and he shaved off their heads, and he waved them, and he did all of these interesting things to the Levim. That took place when Chodesh Iyar, which is the second month of the year. So when it says here, Vaidaber, and this is Pesach, so this is taking place during Chodesh Nisan. So we're going out of order. If we are now about to learn the sugya of Pesach Sheni, and Pesach Sheni is... Well, Pesach Shini is also an Iyar. But I guess they needed to be prepared. Lama Nigora, okay, we're getting some little confusing with the exact dates. One more time. Parsha Shabarosha Sefer Lo Nemro Ad Iyar. Lamadita She'en Seder Muktam Umucha B'Torah. That this Parsha is clearly written B'Chodesh HaRishon Lemar V'yasu B'nei Yisrael Esa Pasach Modo. The Pasach here gives you a date. The Pasuk here clearly states that on the 14th day of Chodesh Nisan, the Jewish people should bring the Korban Pesach. Don't make a mistake and think that the Korban Pesach was only brought at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, never to be repeated. Along comes this Pasuk to tell you, bring the Korban Pesach every single year on the 14th day of Nisan, just like you brought it on the 14th day of Nisan at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this parasha was said in the beginning of Chodesh Nisan at some point in time. The parasha that we learned in the beginning of this parasha, which is one of two things, Elchai was referring to the Levim, took place in Chodesh Iyar, the next month. Oh, so we're going out of order. That's right. Ein mukdam u'me'ochar b'Torah. Why did we go out of order? Because there's a gnai. There's something that's not nice to be derived from the story of the Korban Pesach. This was the only time in the 40 years in the desert that the Jewish people offered the Korban Pesach. That's terrible. They should have offered the Korban Pesach every single year of the 40 years. Why did they not? So Chazal said it was because in order to bring a Korban Pesach, you have to make sure everyone in your family has a bris milah. And many people had in the meantime children. Children were born. And if the children were born, they did not perform upon them bris milah. Why not? Because in order to do bris milah, you have to have fresh wind. You have to have air. And the air was stale. Why was it stale? Because they were inside the Anani HaKavod. You would say, Adrabba, the ear in the Anani HaKavod probably was pristine. It's like having an ear filter. Took away all the possibility for any disease.
And the Levium also, they all had breast to Levium.
Oh, so okay, so that's so maybe he's referring to not Levium, everyone else in Klal Yisrael. I don't know the answer.
But what, the Levium could have had a Korban Pesach.
Maybe they did. Maybe Taka the Levium did have a Korban Pesach. Maybe we had the Gnai is that everyone else did not. There are 12 tribes, and one tribe did, and 11 did not. So it's a terrible Gnai for the Jewish people that they neglected to bring the Korban Pesach in the 40 years of the desert. So this is why we have chosen not, this is why the Torah has chosen, not to embarrass the Jewish people and to take this parasha and hide it in the middle. That's the Chiddush of Rashi. Parasha Shebereish HaSefer LeNimra Ad Iyar. That needs to be discussed. There are two parashas in the beginning of Shebereish HaSefer. Wait a minute. He writes here, I didn't read this correctly. In the beginning of the book. In the book. So what is the beginning of the book? The beginning of the book is Bamidbar. The Bamidbar is the Masois. What is the first parasha? Is the census. In the beginning of Bamidbar, we have over here, is counting the people. Ish Lamata, Moshe was told to count the Jewish people. Itaka says Beferish. You see that? My ignorance. The beginning of Bamidbar. Vayidav Hashem el Moshe Bamidbar Sinai. Belmoid be'echad lachoidesh hasheni ba'shano hashenis litzei sami eretz mitzrayim lemar. We need to guess. The beginning of Sefer Bamidbar begins with counting all of the Jewish people, and there's a date. It says explicitly on the first day of Chodesh Iyar in the second year, the 1 year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. Explicit. And now Parshas Vahaloyscha, after we've read the whole Bamidbar and the whole Nosoi and the whole Bamidbar and Nosoi, and now we're up to Vahaloyscha, now third parsha. Oh, we're now going backwards. We're going backwards to the first. It was now Chodesh Nisan. Let's say some Bachodesh Arishon in the first month, and Hashem is telling Moshe, don't forget, do the Korban Pesach. We're going backwards. So Rashi says, so what? What else is new? Ein mukdam u'me'ochar b'Torah. Ah, why? So Rashi tells us a principle. You don't just go backwards for no reason. There's got to be a reason. The reason why we did not begin Chumash Bamidbar with the story of Korban Pesach is because it's a Gnai. It was the only Korban Pesach that was offered in the Midbar, and that is why we go backwards. Okay? That's Rashi. Now let's see what it says in the Targum. Targum says, Umalel Hashem Imoisha b'mid b'rah the Sinai b'shata tin yesa in the second year l'mi pakoin me'ara de Mitzrayim the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim b'yarcha kadmo in the first month l'meimar. Okay, pretty straightforward. Over here in the Sefer Matsari, Lemi pakoin l'shon yitzia l'shon nafka mina nafka. All right, whatever that means. Hayoytze mena hatoytzol lemais acharin achareicho iyun bisvara nafka lemi pakoin. How does he get this? I don't know what he's talking about over here. Nafka, the pay and the kuf. Okay, everyone, you learn Daf Gemara. What do you learn in Daf Gemara? There's a nafka mina. Now, what is he saying? Something very deep. What does it mean, a nafka? You learn the Gemara. The Gemara presents two sides to the dilemma. Lamai nafka mina. So you give a case. You give an example. If we follow principle A, then this is the result. If you follow principle B, then this will be the result. Nafka mina. So what does those words literally mean? It means what comes forth. Nafka. Nafka in English means what comes forth from this is so-and-so. So take that word, what comes forth. What comes forth is there's an event, and what comes forth is there's a concept, and after you have established the concept, what comes out of it? What do we take out of this? A nafka mina. So here, the Targum on this pasuk uses the exact same word. Umalil Hashem Moshe b'midbaro b'Sinai b'shata tin yeso, the second year, lemi pak hoin. The word lemi pak hoin is the same word that you find in the Gemara, nafka mina, what comes out. And that's how over here we're translating lit say some, their departure. Now it would appear Targum is really saying a very big chiddush. Because if you wouldn't see the Targum, you would just say, oh, very simple, they left Egypt, go to the calendar, you go to the calendar, and look on the calendar, when did the Jewish people leave Egypt? On this calendar date, they physically departed. According to the Targum, I don't know if what I'm saying is true, if you even want to say this, it maybe is, Bashana Hashemis, and the second year, let's say some, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Let's say some, is according to Targum, is not going back on a physical, just like in the Gemara. When the Gemara says, Nafka Mina, there's nothing physical. You're dealing with concepts. You have a dilemma. You have a halach. Okay, you're learning now Masechta Gittin. So what does the Gemara say? The first Mishnah, a long, complicated, a couple of Daf Gemara, when a person delivers a divorce document, the messenger has to say the words, Bifonai Nichtov, Ubifonai Nechtam, that I, the agent, I witnessed the document get written, and I witnessed it being signed. And if the agent who brings the get does not say those words, the get is not a kosher get. And then the Gemara says, what's the reason? What's the reason? So there are two opinions. There is Rabba and Rava. Rava says, because we don't want the husband to come along later on and say that the witnesses are false. So when the witness, the messenger says, I testify that these are kosher witnesses, the husband will never be believed to say that they're false witnesses. Rabba says, because there's a halacha that a get has to be written, l'shma, has to be written for him and her. So you have to testify that it was written l'shma. And then the Gemara, l'mai, nafkanina, oh, nafkanina, oh, fireworks. Nafkanina, I'll give you many, many examples. There's nothing physical, it is a concept. If you take that idea, when it says, let's say, Sami Eretz Mitzrayim, and the Targum is translating, let's say, some, is lemif, lemipakoin. The same word the Gemara uses, he's telling you an incredible chiddush. If not for the shir, we wouldn't even dawn upon that the word, let's say, some, doesn't mean that the Jewish people physically left Egypt. It means they left slavery. Their minds were cleansed. I'll give you an example. I heard Rabbi Eliezer Ginsburg say this. He said, what is the difference between Moshe and Aaron? What was the difference? Well, there are a lot of differences. Some say that Moshe was very, very tall, and Aaron was very, very short and chubby. That's what it says in the Medrash. Aaron was very, very, like a midget. He was very, very short and very, very wide. And Moshe was tall and thin. Very tall and thin. And in fact, in some very old Gemaras, the Sharblat, they show two people in the picture, in the illustration, on the first daf, in the beginning of a Masechta, they show two people. One tall, handsome, slender person, and the other person, a very small person, wide build. And who are those two people? Moshe and Aaron. Mayor, do you ever see this? Ever see this illustration? In the Shavuot, Moshe and Aaron, tall. Also, the Zelmazach, Rachel and Leah. Okay, what Rachel and Leah, what are they? Also, they had completely, look completely different. One was tall and thin, one was short. Okay, now, so here we have, here, what am I saying over here? How do we get into this? Is, let's say, so, oh, what's between Moshe and Aaron? I got sidetracked. So Rav Leah says the difference is Moshe took, this is a very good line, Moshe took the Jewish people out of Egypt. Aaron took Egypt out of the Jewish people. It's a very good line. Again, Moshe took the Jewish people out of Egypt. Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, it was his role to take Egypt out of the Jewish people. L'mayin afkamina, Moshe did something physical. He picked the people up and he took them out. Physical. Aaron did something not physical, something spiritual, something that is more conceptual. He freed their minds from the kleinikait, from the tumah, from the mentality, the slave mentality of Egypt. That's what Aaron did. So here is an incredible targum. The targum is telling to translate the word litzeisam to a word in the Talmud that always means conceptual concepts, not physicality. So when it's a year since the Jewish people have left Egypt, it doesn't mean they physically left Egypt. It means they left their neshamas, left the slave mentality and the kleinikait, the tumah, the mindset of being a slave in Egypt. We're free men. Oh, now it's time to offer another Korban Pesach. It makes a lot of sense, because if the reason why you're coming to celebrate the anniversary of leaving Mitzrayim, nothing has changed. You already did that. If you physically left Egypt, so I left Egypt. When I left Egypt, I brought a Korban. There's no need for me to bring now another Korban. I did that already. I physically escaped. And I thanked Hashem for my physical departure. There's no need to repeat the Korban. But if you learn the reason why I bring the Korban is because leaving Egypt is not just a physical reality, but there's also some spiritual departure. So every single year, as you grow in life, there's another Madrega of leaving Egypt, the tumah, the contamination of Egypt. And then it would be appropriate to say, that's why we have this word in the Targum. So this is really gold, a gold drasha. It's kedai to come tonight just for this, to learn this beautiful idea of lemi pakoin. It's a conceptual departure in the mind. Don't be a prisoner in your own mind. Many people, every single person to a degree, is a prisoner in their own mind. Ein chovush matir atzma mibeis rasurim. You need someone to come and knock on your head and take you out of your limitations. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk over here is V'yasu v'nei Yisrael es haposach b'moado. Hashem is telling Moshe, the Jewish people, they shall perform. Yasu, they shall perform the Pesach in its proper time. Rashi, b'moado af b'shabbos, b'moado af b'tumah. The word b'moado is not necessary. It's coming to teach you a halacha that Pesach is doiche Shabbos. Erev Pesach shechal lihiyos b'shabbos. the Shechitas HaPesach takes place on day 14. What happens if day 14 is Shabbos? Are you allowed to slaughter the Pesach? You're not going to eat it until the evening. So you didn't kill Shabbos. Yes, Gezeres HaKos, tremendous Chiddush. When do we have such a thing? But I think it's an amazing thing to comprehend, because there's nothing that's Deicha Shabbos. Okay, in the Beis HaMikdash, they slaughter Korbanos. But who does that? A few people. One person, the Kohen. There's one Kohen who brings the Tamish HaShachar, Tamish HaBenemayim, who brings the Korban Musaf for Shabbos. If it's Yom Tif, okay. So there's one guy in the Beis HaMikdash, that's Mechal Shabbos. Good for him. But here, every single person in the whole Klal Yisrael is Mechal Shabbos. They do a Maisa, they bring the Korban, and they participate in the Shechita, and they flay it, and they do all the things to prepare it. There's a lot of Chil Shabbos that goes into the Korban Pesach. Yep. What else? The majority of the Jewish people are Tamei. They are allowed to contaminate themselves in order to bring the Korban Pesach. Af b'tumo b'moado. Okay, there's a joke. I don't know if you ever hear this joke. My brother told me this joke. Today, if you go to a bris milah, did you notice this? If the bris milah is on Shabbos, everyone is very relaxed. No one's in a rush. Everyone mills around, they mill about. You have a good time. If you go to a bris during the weekday, everyone is running. Where's the aluminum foil? I gotta go steal a bagel. I gotta go do this, gotta do that. Running. The bris has to be at 6:30 in the morning, so everyone could be gone by 7:30. So the line is, bris milah is doiche Shabbos, but it's not doiche chol. It's a very good line. Bris milah is doiche Shabbos, but it's not doiche chol. Here it says, b'moya doi de karim Pesach is doiche Shabbos. Doicha Shabbos. Okay, fine. Bimoado. What does it say over here? That's what Rashi says. What does the time over here say? The Pesach says, Ba'as Asra. Day 14. Yoimo. Biyarcho Hodein. In this month, Bein Shim Shaya. Bein Ashmoshois. Okay, where do you get that from? Bein Shim Shaya. That means Bo'erev, in the evening. Bein Shim Shaya. That's a very unusual expression. Which pasuk were you doing? I'm doing the wrong pasuk. I did the wrong pasuk. I'm sorry. Pasuk base. The Abdun b'nei Yisrael yos pischa biz b'zimne. The Jewish people shall perform the Pesach in the proper time. Is there any commentary over here? No. Pasuk gimel. Be'arba'o osu yom achadosh hazeh day 14. Bein ho arbayim. And what does that mean? Bein ho arbayim means in the afternoon, between the erevs. There are two Erevs. The first Erev is when the sun begins to set, 12:30. The second Erev is when it sets. So any time between 12:30 and 6 o'clock, that's called between the two Erevs. Bein Arbayim, ta'asu oy, so you shall do it, b'moado. Again it says the word b'moado. Nochamol, kichol chukosav uchichol mishpatav. Ta'asu oisai. You shall do it. Rashi pasagim, gechol asher, gechol chukosav, elu mitzvot shebegufoi, se, tamim, zohar, ben shana. How many conditions do you need for the Korban Pesach? Number one, it has to be a se. Number two, it has to be tamim. Number three, it has to be male. Number four, it has to be a ben shana. Four within the first year. Four conditions. A se, which means either kivasim or izim, in other words, a behemoth daka, has to be male, has to be within its first year, and it may not have any blemish. A mishpat is, shivas yamim l'matzah, that refers to the laws of Pesach. Eat matzah for 7 days. Ulebiur chametz, destroy the chametz. Sifarim Acherim, another pshat, mitzvos shebegufoy, saying the other way around. Mitzvos shebegufoy is set tamim, zohar ben shana, A set tamim, zohar ben shana, shalgufoy, what does it mean shalgufoy? Tzli. There's shebegufoy and there is al gufay. And here, when it says over here, al gufay, it refers to how you prepare the Korban Pesach, which means it has to be tzli'esh, roasted, roishay al kirov, the al kirbo, in one complete piece, don't cut it up, from the head all the way to its legs and the insides of the stomach, shechutz legufay, then it's a chutz legufay, and that's matzah, eating matzah, bir chametz. So Sacha Kol Rashi here is telling us of this, and very interesting. Rashi here is telling us that there are three different levels. There are three different categories. There is mitzvah she begufay, mitzvah al gufay, and mitzvah chutz legufay. Rashi in the parentheses is a beautiful idea. Three different categories. She begufay, al gufay, chutz legufay. What's it mean she begufay? What type of animal you bring? What does it mean? What does it mean? Al gufay? It means, what do you do with the animal? You have to roast it. You have to roast it in one piece. And what does it mean? Chutz legufay? You have to eat it. Al matzah is umeroidim yochlu. You have to eat the matzah and no chametz. Chutz legufay. That's what it means over here. These two terms. That's Rashi. Now, what is over here? It's saying the Targum. Targum Pasuk Gimel says, Bi'arba'as asra yoyma, day 14, bi'archa adain, bein shimshaya. Now that's a very hard term. Between the shemesh. Ta'abdun yoseh, you shall do it. Bezimne, gechol gizeiro say, or gechol de chazele, the gizeiros. Whatever is fit, ta'abdun yoseh. Targum, pasuk gimel. What does the Targum say? Bein shimshaya, kava nosoi, shemesh. Hamizrach v'shemesh hamayrif. Kiloimar, shemesh hamizrach, hainu, kishayavar hamizrach, it's no longer on the east side, the sun. Mitchila shah shavias, it's now chatzois. V'shemesh hamayrif, kasher tiyeh b'soif hamayrif. V'ze perush rochuk mo'id. B'divr unkul l'sharei chazal, shimshoi v'loshan shah. Shimshai, Belosh and Ben Ashmashais, Hazman Shu Safikim of Savaglai Lovi Od, Ella Perisha Boruhu, Shakavana, the Mila Shemesh, who Yoim Umatsinu Gam Lapoch, Kine Hayoim Boyer Katanur, Kiloimar, Ben Hayomim, the Razal Losh and Ben Ashmashais, Akavana Hazman Shulagami Ben Hayomim, Shu Savik Umyoim Yoim Shulfon of Ulyom Shakav, or Unculus Akavana Hazman Shu Maskil Lyois. The beginning of Ben Hayomim, Mechatzois Ve'elach. All right, he's saying over here some really heavy-duty stuff. Okay, some heavy-duty stuff. He's saying over here is, we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. We have a Targum, and the Targum tells us that you shall slaughter the Korban Pesach. The Pasuk says, Bein Ho'arboyim. Ho'arbayim. Bein Ho'arbayim. Bein Ho'arbayim. Bein ho'arba'im, between the Erev. So what does that mean? What does it mean exactly? So did Rashi say anything about this? No, Rashi was quiet. Targum says it means Bein Shimshaya. What does that mean? Now if you want to go take that term, the way we commonly understand it, it would mean, let's say if us in America, how do we translate that in America? Because it's not so posh, but in America we translate it mean after the sun sets, for the next, let's say, 40 minutes. 40 minutes. From the time the sun sets until 40 minutes pass, nishtahi nishtaher. You can't say it's yet the next day, because the three medium stars didn't come out yet. And you can't say it's yesterday, because the sun already set. Nishtahi nishtaher. Right, that's the way we use the word in our language, and that's really what Chazal, the way Chazal uses it. Okay, if you look like Rabbeinu Tam means after what does Rabbeinu Tam say? After 50, said the last 13 minutes. So that means between 57 and 72 minutes after sunset is called Bein Hashmashos. Same idea. A little similar, but let's say we hold between sunset and the stars coming out. That cannot be the pshat. That's not the tradition. The tradition is that the Korban Pesach is slaughtered at 12:30 until 6 o'clock. Let us assume the sun sets at 6 o'clock and Chatzos is 12 o'clock. So the Zman of the Shchitas HaPesach is between 12:30 and 6 o'clock. That is not between 6 o'clock and 6:40. So what then does it mean, Bein HaShemoshes? So he says, some people will tell you that what it means is, in this context, what the Targum means to say is, that there's an east sun and there is a west sun. What does it mean, east sun and west sun? When you get to 12:30, the sun is done with the east. Finished. Been there, done that. When you get to 12:30, the sun's dominance over the eastern side of the horizon is done. What does it mean? And what does it mean, the west sun? It means when the sun sets in the west. So there is the in between 12:30 and 6 o'clock, when the sun is finished with the east and is pretty much finished with the west because it's now about to set. That's called Bein HaShemoshes. He says here, I don't like that. This is ridiculous. He has some very sharp words over here, the Ma'atzari, and he says, Ze perish rochuk me'oid. No way. Rochuk me'oid. B'divri unkulis shari chazal shim shavloshim Bein HaShemoshes hazman shub saviyoz v'layla. Then he goes on to say, what is the correct pshat? The word is only one day, Shemesh. Shemesh means a day. So it means here, in between day 14 and day 15. Shemesh doesn't mean, until now he wanted to say it means between the east sun and the west sun. Shemesh, until now we have been translating as the sun, S-U-N. No, the word Shemesh means the day, D-A-Y, between yesterday and the next day. So when is that? So in the words of Chazal, it means after sunset until the stars come out. But in this context, it can't mean that. So it means when the day is beginning to end and the next day is beginning to begin. And in this context, it means 12:30. Because at 12:30, it is now, the day is now on their final approach. We're now beginning to end the day. So the meaning is the word Shemesh should be translated as day, not as sun. All right, we will stop over here. Thank you very much for coming. Mayor, you should have a successful day tomorrow. Everything should go very well. You should have very good eyesight. You should be able to see everything. See everything. You can see the hair on my head. If you can see the hair on my head, that means you can. That means you're hallucinating. You should be able to count the sheep as they go over the fence in your dreams. Okay. Think about all the things you can watch on your smartphone. Good night. Think of all things you can be able to watch on the smartphone.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. All right, you should have a safe day tomorrow. Everything should go well. Before Shalema.
Okay, I'm going to 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm going. I don't know when they'll do it, but
all right,
maybe you'll come in.
Don't come. What are you talking about? Be careful. Stay. Don't come in. Relax. Be careful. What?
I'll walk into the door. It's locked.
That is so strange how that door is locked. Okay, Zion,
you're
going to...
Is she your
sister? No, she texts me back. She texts me back. Okay. Heshi, good night, Heshi. Take care.
Good night.
No, actually, good night. Take care. Thank you.
was his family, secular family, and they lived in a bad neighborhood, and his son was going to high school. So they signed, they were secular, so they said, let's send him to Catholic school instead of, anybody Jewish in his class. So the kid was scared to say something. And he didn't say anything. So then the priest got let out and called the kid by the name. So he said,
what I mean, 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 what I m Goy could break that shot. What? Fuck on. I'm curious. The point is that you found a kid to teach. Right? Because when I was here, I said we're just doing that. What? Yeah. When I was talking about over here that according to Shimon, he's making the Havaran a Kayak. That's why the Sultan is
Thank you.